Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is Technoid Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Well, this is kind of a unique showcase. We've got everything going on in Facebook Live, which is cool and sort of new for us, and we're going to step it up to even another notch with 360. So we've got, Bottle Rocket Media is here, and they're going to show us exactly what 360 is all about and how we do it. And I'm just really excited to have you guys here in studio. We've got Dan Fisher and we've got Brett Singer, who boringly say that they're just the principals. You've got like creative media going on in, like, times like gazillion, and you two guys come in here and just, hey, well, we're principals.
We're simple guys. We're a small shop, so we take pride in saying, yes, there's a lot of creative stuff that happens in our shop, and we're honored to be the two guys that founded it and kicked things off.
Simple men. I eat beans and rice too. It's fine.
It's very simple.
No problem. So I guess, before we get into all the 360 chat and where it's going, and I want to have kind of a real quick but cool conversation, just so everyone knows, on Facebook, you can catch these videos later. They'll all be in 360. This entire episode, not just this interview, but all of them is going to be in 360, which, maybe if we can figure out how to do it right, will be the future for us. I am so fascinated with the idea that we can put every single viewer in that seat. They can be in WGN studio and watch this whole thing. Exactly. So how did you guys get into doing this? How did you become principals?
Well, Brett and I met while working at the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Start.
Yep. Not a bad place to start. And when Miss Winfrey decided to move on from the show, we thought it was a good time for us to team up and basically just make video on our own terms. So what's that, like 6 years ago now?
Yeah, something like that, and we started slow and a few clients, and have grown to 60, 70 different clients we've worked with over the last few years. And our focus, having lived so many years in broadcast for the Oprah Show and other adventures, we wanted to split, we wanted to do videos where three or four people got in a room and said, hey, let's make a video. Great, let's go do that. And it happens. So we found this niche that's online and digital and social and company and event spaces, where companies like United or McDonald's or Walgreens or Dyson or Central here in Chicago.
Tiny little brands
tiny
that
little
you guys
brands try. That need an external video production company. And we kind of fit the bill, and we've grown from really small, jobs like Carol's Cookies or a little frame shop in Wicker Park to these bigger jobs. But, for each video, it's still the same thing. What's the story we're telling, and how can we collaborate with smart, cool, creative people and do things on our terms? So every job's different.
I mean, that's really exciting. And the cool thing is, I'm glad that our guys are here kind of behind the cameras right now watching this, because, we have a lot of different facets to Technoid that people know, and Technoid Studio is one of the things we aspire to do. It's to not come into your territory. I don't want to come up against guys like you, but I want to be able to create cool content that is for ourselves. So we create, whether it's entertainment, sports, tech, whatever, I want to create really cool stuff that we can be proud of and use the most top-of-the-line technology possible to create an experience for users that's different from anybody else.
Top of the line today, the camera we're shooting on, top of the line today. Tomorrow, there's probably a better camera coming out. The 360 space.
The iPhone 8.
Right, exactly. The 360 space is moving so fast. And anybody that claims to have a handle on where it's going or what's amazing is just blowing smoke, because we're all in the discovery mode. This is like 8mm film right now for this new medium.
Yeah.
So it's just been a ton of fun to explore that space. And for us, we're just on the journey with everyone else. So whatever we know, we share with everybody. We share with our clients. We share with, other creative companies.
As evidenced by sitting in this chair right now.
Well, yeah. So there's no secret sauce. Everybody's still experimenting and learning, and that's the fun part of being here now with a new medium.
This is honestly why one of the reasons I guess the space sort of chose me more than I chose it. We talked about this before the start of the show. I just made this whole thing up on a fly. But the reason I thought it was doable is because you can't, you're never going to come up with the only idea. Everyone has come up with the same idea 1,000 times. Yeah. It comes down to execution, and creativity is the one thing that ultimately can't be cheated. You either have a creative eye for something and can create, I could take the same camera as you have, and the creation that you're going to make of the same shot of what I see is going to be totally different.
Yeah.
And there's so many different nuances within that that create an experience that the fan will go, wow, I feel like I was there. And absolutely. The other one is just kind of like, wow, that asshole made me scroll around the screen the whole time.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot to be, like I said, there's a lot of discoveries yet to be made in 360. And the more we share with other people, you know, we're hopeful that we can collaborate with someone and do the next cool thing. Or we told these guys, here's how to do it. And all of a sudden we see like the next show and you're like, look what we did. I'm like, oh my God, that is now the coolest video ever made in 360. You guys did that. That's so cool. We're going to steal that from you now. You know, you just have to be, you know, egoless and share everything, because it's that part of the business now where, like I said, special sauce doesn't get you anywhere, you know?
Well, they're going to steal it anyway. I mean, that's the other thing.
It doesn't exist. And, you know, it's about practicing and exploring and trying, just exploring the boundaries, really.
For all the creatives out there, I think, and I don't, I mean, I like myself. I think I'm a creative person. I think I'm a dreamer type, you know, idea person. But I don't claim to be technically sound creatively in any way. But to all the creatives, the one thing I would tell them is, you know, when I first started doing this stuff, not this side of things, but just coming up with shows and concepts, I was watching people knock them off left and right, and I would get so pissed. And it literally, I mean, it would drive me nuts. And it got to a point where finally I was like, you know what? I'm done looking behind me and seeing who's around, like what they're looking at, what they're watching. I'm just done with it. I'm going to create what I want to make. And I'm just going to keep fine-tuning it until I'm happy with it, which is apparently never.
Yeah.
And then just keep rolling.
So you
and,
are an artist.
Yeah. So people can just, you know,
the only
whatever.
Difference between people that do stuff and people that don't is that some people actually get up and do it. You know, and that's ultimately what creates creatives.
Yeah. And you also don't, you know, we're not afraid to make shitty videos.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be afraid to fail. And when we jumped into 360, you know, I remember the day Dan brought a 360 headset into the office. I was like, we should check this out. Where we all put our phone in it. We're like, holy crap, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, how do we get involved? And it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And maybe there was a handful of articles of this is how you do this and you can't do that. And after reading like two or three of them, we're like, we're done reading. We're going to get cameras. We're going to figure this out ourselves and make our own best practices. I want to discover why you can't do that. I want to discover, you know, new ways to do things. And just because they said this or that, I don't care. So let's mess around. Let's make our own mistakes and be bold and see what happens. And that's, you know, that's how we push ourselves forward.
Well, that answered my question I was going to ask you, which was how did you get into the 360 part of this? Like, so what percentage of your business now is focused on A360 and becoming, you know, better at it, finding new ways to use it, but also an eye on like the next evolution of 360 or the next use case for 360.
Well, we're always looking to see what's the next best thing. And at the end of the day, 360 is just another tool for us to tell a story.
Yeah.
So we'll use it when it's appropriate. And
when do you think it's not appropriate? Like, I feel like this show is a borderline appropriate on it. Like, I feel like I'm trying to create something that is unique for people to be able to be in a studio because it's unique. But if I was doing a canned video, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, there are times when, whether for a client or for ourselves, we in an effort to push ourselves, we just making our own 360 content. We're like, oh, I've got this great idea. And then we say, so why is that cooler in 360?
Right.
Like, why wouldn't that be better? We just take, you know, our normal cameras, go out and shoot and edit it. And there is no hard and fast rule for that because, you know, we're two, you know, boring guys who make video. But if there were, you know, two
speak
really
for yourself.
Interesting piece, you know, people, you know, in this chair to sit in the room with them and to feel like you're part of the conversation, I think that's super cool.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know that it'll work, but, you know, I think it's what I'm really hoping is that when we bring some of these big shots in, that you get to sit down next to them. If we tie it together with live stream and can enable you to actually tweet and talk to us during the show, imagine being able to look over to your left and ask Showbiz Shelly what's going on next, and you can actually sit there and answer them. Like,
absolutely.
And they can
how
look
cool
at you.
Is that?
That is the coolest.
Absolutely. And there's also something, too, when you're in the room with somebody and that you don't necessarily get from normal video. You know, you get all the subtleties. You get all the nonverbal stuff.
Yep.
You get their body language.
You get me telling you to move closer to the mic.
Exactly.
Right. You get to see how they interact. Or, you know, two founders that are like bugging each other. Like, oh, they don't like each other.
Two principals.
Two principals. Right. Well, yeah, exactly. So there's, I don't know, man.
Very cool.
You know, we're still playing and playing and playing.
Well,
and,
we're going to be continuing. I mean, obviously, I'm very grateful that you're doing all this and giving us kind of an example of what it could look like.
For sure.
I hope that the viewers give us a great response and say, you know, this is something we want to see more. And and I want more people to utilize your tool and follow your lead in this, because we certainly will be watching you, copying sort of, but also watching you. Hopefully, we can figure out a way to collaborate.
Yeah.
Where do people go to learn more about Rocket Media and just?
Bottle Rocket Media. Yeah, bottlerocketmedia.net. You can find a bunch of information about our 360 videos, our standard, regular old HD videos.
HD, old-fashioned,
you know, winding crank camera.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Look to do those.
What would Howard Hughes do today?
Exactly.
Could you imagine Hell's Angels today? It would take 14 years just looking at every plane.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's
bolts
exactly
falling
right.
out of it.
So, we can be found there and... happy to chat with anybody about this stuff. We're active in the community, and if anyone has any questions, drop us a line. We're happy to share.
Very cool. Thank you guys so much for this, and I look forward to the final product that people get to watch.
Me too. This is cool.
That's thanks for having us.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, thanks.
Showbiz Shelley.
That is so cool. I have to tell you, my first experience with 360 is when I went to Iceland in November, and actually someone had a similar, I don't know if it was exactly that camera, but a similar 360 camera. I took a picture, a 360 picture on a crater.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So I pulled it up. Not that anyone really cares at home.
Well,
but
see, like that's how this whole thing came to be. I started watching people. Howard Tolman would travel, 1871 CEO. He would travel all around the world, and he takes these pictures everywhere he goes. And I was like, man, you know what? Like, I'd like to tweet him. And say, you know, like, hey, you know, can you move over a little bit? Because that looks really, just keep going. You know what I mean? And so, you know, to me, I'm thinking this is great. And so I started looking into how to, you know, that's what kind of got us into like the multicam. Then it got us to Mevo live streams. So it's like, I'm getting halfway there.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm thinking, I get what those guys are saying, that the 360 thing is kind of, you know, it's the right place, right time. Can you imagine being in here and having like a fan be able to ask, like, you just tell a story, like in a couple minutes you're going to talk about, you know, some of the things going on in celebrity tech world.
Yeah.
Imagine if somebody could lean over and literally scroll and look at you and be like, Shelley,
what's going on with this?
Why is this going on? And you could respond. I feel like that would be the coolest thing.
So cool. And also too, something that I love about these little, all these segments and everyone you interviews, I feel like you take a little piece away of life.
Oh, for sure.
About life, you know, little life lessons from each person. Like they said, don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
I love that. Because like you say.
There's a bunch of little, you know, I guess with our next guest here, we're going to
have
a couple of sweet tidbits here. But we will segue back. This is Scott Catoon at the Startup Showcase, WGN Radio. We are back in here with Kevin Aykroyd, the CEO of, am I going to say this right, Cision?
Got it.
Yes, yeah. I finally got something right. Aykroyd, I wasn't going to screw up. I had that one.
In Chicago, you should not get.
I was
going to
say,
right?
If you screw that up, the show. I think they just
can't get that name wrong.
They just pull the plug on it, which they might do anyway. But that's a whole different thing. So you are fresh in off of quite a big and newsworthy few weeks.
We are. Nothing as cool as creative genius is talking about 360 video technology, right? We're B2B software, a little less titillating, but some big news nonetheless.
But incredibly important for all of us.
But incredibly important, yeah. It is in a big way, and we did announce the intent to go public to kind of put some human growth hormone into our already aggressive growth goals. So, yeah, it's been a big, big couple of weeks.
So you guys own, is it PR Newswire?
Yeah, the company GTCR right here in Chicago is the private equity firm that has been on an acquisition spree. We've acquired six different companies prior to me joining. We just announced another one today that we acquired, number seven. PR Newswire is the single largest one. So the Cision entity mapped with the PR Newswire, which is definitely a big brand. It's almost having the Telegraph or the Post Office, right? It's been shipping the wire for about 50 years.
Everyone in this room is a Northwestern Medill graduate, so they're all like, oh, PR Newswire, go Cats.
Exactly. And it was an important piece of the puzzle.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to definitely talk about you and your journey and where you're going and where Cision's going and all this. But I also kind of want to talk a little bit about the market itself, just the business. The marketing software world is just exploding. It's a huge thing. I heard this is going to sound really dumb. Not a good way to start an interview, but I heard the term Marcom for a 100 times, and I never knew what the hell it was. And I heard it the other day, and all of a sudden, it just for whatever reason, it stopped me, and I was like, marketing communications. And I started thinking like all these different pieces and tools and stuff that we have to use and rely on, and I never thought of them. I guess until I did some research on your company, I never thought of them like in line with this whole effort of marketing. I just didn't look at it that way. So, where do you see, you know, all of this attention on marketing, marketing software? Where do you see all this stuff like coming together? Where's it going?
Yeah, and that is the big news. Just a little perspective on me. You know, I'm a software head. I went out to Silicon Valley in 1999, enjoyed that first dot-com crash, and that was fun.
So you were the
And I've kind of been
well,
out
though.
There, right, the whole bit. Most recently at Salesforce.com, and I kind of went through this whole cloud software platform thing and customer relationship management. That was the big wave, I'd say, last decade. This decade, it's absolutely been in this marketing and ad tech. I'll give you a couple little fun facts, right? Google, Facebook, and the whole digital advertising, that's called paid media.
Yep.
That stuff has taken $100 billion away from like events, TV, print, right?
Billboards,
etc.
We're aware of the money they've taken away from our events, yes.
Unbelievable, right? And basically, that's called ad tech, right? Or paid media. Then you've got people like my alma mater. I most recently came from Oracle, where I ran Oracle Marketing Cloud, where we were throwing a whole bunch of this cloud or SaaS software at owned media. Right, your websites, your mobile, your own social, your email, your e-commerce, all that stuff. You got it. They took off. That market is about a $30 billion market from, you know, very small 10 years ago. So you got those two legs of the stool. There is this really critical other third leg called MarCom, right? Yep. That's PR. That's marketing communications. And nowadays, it's digital influencers. It's word of mouth. It's community leaders, right? It's this entire what we call earned media category. And earned media hasn't enjoyed this data, technology, and measurement investment, right, that the Adobes and Oracles and Salesforces did and owned and the Googles and Facebooks did and paid until Cision, right? And now we are basically, for this earned media category, that data, measurement, and tech cloud platform for the earned guys, the way the aforementioned big software giants have been for the paid and the owned guys. So on one hand, it's that simple. It's not quite that simple, but that's basically what we are in the industry, and that's why it is big news, because earned media is kind of being recognized as the most important, right? I'm sure this is true.
Well, we've
for
had
you
on
too.
The last couple of shows, and I mean that's more or less. I mean that's what we do as a living. I mean Technori, Shelby Shelley is a great example of that.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Exactly. If I advertise to somebody, that's not credible. If you say it because you're thought leaders and influencers and trusted and credible, it carries its weight in gold. And that's what earned media is, right? Is what do third-party credible people say about you? It's getting a lot of attention. It's getting a lot of investment. And quite frankly, it's working. So right as we are starting to look at a whole bunch of money, right, being invested because it should be invested in this earned thing, here we come along, right, with that kind of earned platform. So it's pretty exciting times.
You seem to be in the right spot quite frequently. So you're telling this journey, and he tells the whole story. He's kind of like, this is where things are going. And here's when I started off when they had their website come up. And then this is when I was at Salesforce when the SaaS platform hit. Then I was over at Oracle and we started moving.
Right. I won't lie. Having had the lens I've had the last 10 years on this whole marketing tech thing, it was pretty clear where the ball was going.
Yep. For you.
And for me, right? And the opportunity to go leave an incredible company like Oracle and go take the realm of a company that is going to go do that, right, in this mission critical category at this time, what a dream job. A great opportunity to go do it. So, yeah, timing was good, but not accidental, right? If you're in this space, you know what's happening. You know there's a big opportunity, and we're really, really well positioned to go take up advantage of it for ourselves. More importantly, though, right, this whole industry needs an injection. Right, they need data and some tech to really modify this. So we're going to be change agents for the good of the industry, not just capitalists for the good of Cision.
Well, we sit here and look at this from the vantage point of Technori. I sit here and look at this as very similar to you. I'm not as successful and have not gotten as far along the pipeline as we're trying to, but I look at the content side of it. And where this is going and where the human and the UGC originally was just like, we've got all this user-generated content and it's kind of can't really tag it and don't know what to do with it. And people are writing obscene things and it's anonymous and whatever. And turning that into a corner where people are actually contributing to the story and sort of we're trying to shape all of what we're doing here to make it in a way that it is sort of the next evolution of media. And personally, I think if you look at the big building we're sitting in, Tribune Tower, I hope that they're listening to these mics that are on because, we're in a position where all of the content that's being created going forward is going to be created in a different way than it is right now, even on this show. This show is good and ahead of the curve, but it's outdated already. And the way that we market that and market our advertiser or use our advertisers and market to our users and collect revenue on that is going to be completely different. And you guys handle that side of things.
We do. And you can't really get the kind of automation and scale that you need if you don't throw tech and data at the problem.
Oh, for sure.
You just can't do it the old-fashioned way. And that is a big part of the problem we're solving.
Which is why I think this is really cool to have you in studio, because we've got the guys who just, Bottle Rocket, who are doing the 360 video. We're pushing the envelope on how people are able to consume this. Advertisers are able to create an experiential marketing platform around a video that is stagnant. It's two people sitting in a chair talking, and yet we've created something that they can use in different ways.
Yep.
And those are click ads that can then go to you and then end up getting pushed out to 1,000 other people and different, totally different calls to action. So it's amazing, and what a luxury to have you sitting here in front of us to answer and kind of talk about this.
Yeah. And the data-driven, if I'm a beauty products company in paid or in owned, I'm using data and I'm figuring out, hey, when I do this new big beauty products launch, that's the sexy grandmas, right? That's the soccer moms, and that's the Wall Street women. And the way I got to talk to them in video, in infographics, right, in multimedia, yep, even in text, if I don't talk to the sexy grandma very different than the Wall Street woman, I'm going to lose them, right? Yep. And that discipline and that religion exists in the paid media advertising and in the things like web personalization. The communications office has always just sent one, right, one size fits all, and they don't get into that level of data-driven contextual content that will really, really heavily resonate with the influencer and then out to the end user. And just making that simple that simple change and allowing us and Earned to kind of have that data and contextual message to the various audiences is going to fundamentally change how these guys do their jobs, and quite frankly is going to change how the CFO and the CEO look at them and measure them, and they're going to kind of become first class citizens in their companies again, because they're going to show up with the same kind of measurement of business results that the paid guys and the owned guys have for a while.
Well, and that to me is kind of what, that was my next question actually, was like, if we were to start a company or if we had our own type of thing, like how would you recommend the next wave of media companies approach this? Because I feel like, I don't want to pick on like some of the more traditional, but you look at, it's too late, they know, right? The traditional companies know what's going on, I think. It's right. I'm not picking on it right anymore. But, you know, I feel like that a lot of the new, and they're still like new media companies that I recognize and I see them come through and grow up, I don't understand. Like, they're using old school tactics. And honestly, even from our, you know, experience, Google Ads, meh. Yeah. Doesn't like, we're not seeing any push from that. I get much more out of having Shobe Shelley send this out on a picture from this to 18,000 Instagram followers and her being like, this was the coolest experience, and then tracking that and knowing like that worked, that didn't work. I would get way more than that than buying ad roll.
That's right.
It's a total, in my mind, it's a total waste. So if I'm a company who's growing in the media space, doesn't matter, I guess B2B, B2C, doesn't matter, what do you recommend as the number one first thing that I should do when it comes to like important analytics, whatever? You tell me what to do.
It is literally, I call it digital exhaust or digital body language. The end customer, whether it's a B2B customer or a B2C customer, the digital body language we are all emitting every day on our mobile devices, our tablets, our iPads, our computers, our, right? And you need to make sure you don't get past the creepy factor in this, yeah, right? Which if we want to go into the creepy factor, sure we'll get into the creepy, yeah, factor. But right, assuming that you don't pass the creepy factor line, that customer kind of subconsciously expects you to kind of be reading that data, because they want dazzling digital customer experiences in near real time, good content in the right channel, right? You just kind of, that's the new expectation. So number one is you have to take advantage of that real time massive river of digital body language or yeah, behavior data, because if you listen to it,
it's too late.
The customer will tell you exactly what they want,
yeah,
and what she or he cares about, what they're shopping for, right? Everything. So listen to the data, which this industry historically is not, right? Be ready to actually react to it. We call the little tech term is activation. So yeah, one, harness the data. Two, activate the data, because if you listen to it, but it takes you a month,
yeah,
to go get an email out to her, right, whatever, it doesn't make any sense that the minute's gone. So activate it in as near real time. And then you just have measurement, right? She did this. I actually took advantage of that and said, man, she's been on that website and that social network, right, reading advertorial or editorial or read or whatever about this product for the last 3 days. You know what? I bet if I serve her relevant content, it'll probably resonate and I'll get whatever I want, whether it's a download or a view, yeah, or a click or a purchase or whatever the case may be, and then measure the hell out of it, literally 24/7. Yeah. And if you just do that, listen to the data, activate it with the right content in the right channel, and measure it so that you know whether it worked, and then you just are in this constant optimization. It's kind of that simple. Now, there's a whole bunch of data and tech that companies like me have to provide so that it is that simple, because that used to be 100 bodies in an agency. Now it's one marketing tech user on a platform, literally in a desk like this that can actually manage this at scale. But you got to have the discipline to actually take advantage of the tech. Otherwise, it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's I look at that's perfectly stated. Yeah. I think that's, you know, it is very complicated, but it's actually quite simple.
It's kind of simple at the end of the day.
And, and we are actually, you know, we maybe not, we might not look at look like it, but we are counting on that, quite honestly, because the reason you see the live stream camera going, I mean, I think our competitive advantage is the fact that we know from a tech side of like how to do things, that if we can operate quick and accurate in live, it makes it so you only have this much time to change. So I know that this live stream is set up to get you to be like, oh, and then I've got a, an event tonight, a Technori event showcase, and I would love all of you who are watching to go get tickets to Technori.events. It's we know based on the behavior of people what they expect from me after this is over. And if I don't send you something, they're going to see something else in the next 30 seconds, and they will not look at me again until next week, if at all.
Yep. I think the only other thing that I would add is all of us on this side, you know, hey, I got the TV spot. I got the radio spot. I got the Inc. and the Tribune, right? We're used to congratulating ourselves for coverage in broadcast, in radio, in print, and even online. If we don't translate that Marcom speak into CFO speak so we get credit for business impact, it's kind of the tree fell in the forest, and it was a 300 frickin' foot tree, but nobody heard it, and I'm not going to get any credit for it, because if I continue to just show up and say, hey, I got the radio spot or I got the TV spot, and I don't translate business impact, all that was an expense.
Well, that was
the
early challenge.
CFO or the CFO. So we need to actually provide business speak and business results around all this, or we're just not going to get it funded inside our companies.
I'm glad you said it, because it really is key for, I mean, for us, I'm glad you said it selfishly because of sponsors.
Yeah.
They have to understand, and we, you know, I've seen it a million times. We struggle with it early on. Like, I got to this opportunity, companies call me up who said, oh my God, we got into Mariano's.
Yeah.
They got into Mariano's after they heard this story, and they were like, oh, that's a great product, whatever. That was because he was looking for it. He knew exactly and told me, so I could say, we helped them get Mariano's.
Right.
We didn't have it set up in that way, and to a lot of extent, we still really don't, other than my own following up in a physical format with people.
Yep.
If you don't try to calculate what the ROI is in this before you even put it out there, total waste of time.
Unfortunately, but that is the world we live in, and we got to get smart and get ahead of that.
We're going to be smart, guys. We're going to keep doing this.
Measure it.
Yeah, we have to. Kevin, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Where do people go to find out more and learn more about Cision?
Just go to the website, www.cision.com, and that's like decision, right? C-I-S-I-O-N.
Very cool.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
All right.
So,
hello, Scott.
So, Shelley, we've had two consecutive guests on here that are like right in your wheelhouse. So I feel like there's no better way than to segue right now into talking about celebrity and influencers in the tech and non-tech world.
Yeah.
Take it away, Shelley.
Let's do it, because a lot of the things I'm about to talk about actually relate to a lot of what your guests just said. So, you know the store Brookstone. They have a lot of cool, neat little gadgets. Well, you might remember, too, that they emerged from bankruptcy in 2014, and they've actually changed the way now that they are coming up with their unique gadgets and goods. So now, to create more relevant products quicker, they've started looking outside its sort of internal development channels, and they're working with more startups, incubators, and crowdfunded projects and celebrities. So what an interesting idea, right? Not just sort of going down the typical path that I think a lot of retailers do. And so they said that there are these huge changes happening in the industry. We hired a whole bunch of different thinkers from different industries, more representative of our customers. And so, for example, Ariana Grande, like they have here, is promoting headphones, these cat ear headphones. And they also are saying somebody like Rob
Gronkowski,
of the Patriots. He's on board with Brookstone, coming on later with the Gronk ball, which is a light up football that has a speaker and it can be thrown 30 yards. But
can you spike it? Can you Gronk? I Gronk spike everything now.
Do you know what's hilarious
about
this?
I'm such a bro.
You are such a bro. But what's hilarious is he says you can only throw it 30 yards because he says it's not the Tom Brady ball, it's the Gronk ball. So you only need to throw it 30, not 60, you know, 70, 80. But I think this so relates to everything that your guests were just even talking about, this sort of influencer marketing and using these types of people to promote these products, right?
I just bought my leather gym bag from Brookstone. I mean, it came from Amazon, but it was from Brookstone.
Did you really?
I was a huge fan of Brookstone and couldn't understand.
I know.
I knew why they were falling apart, but I couldn't understand like why they fell apart so like suddenly.
Yeah.
And then now with the report you're talking about, I actually read that and read a lot of stuff about it. I actually think it's I like where they're going. I think
it's
really
interesting, right?
It's very cool.
Yeah, and just the only other thing I'll mention real quick that's coming to Chicago is this big sports museum, the American Sports Museum, and it's not going to be your typical sports museum. They're instead going to teach children and adults about all sorts of topics, from history, biology, to even physics, and sort of the tech side of sports. There's even a guy who's working and who's going to be a part of it, who's from an entertainment technology company that's based out of the UK, and they've even launched an Indiegogo campaign to raise $100,000 to hire the first staffers for the museum, which is pretty cool. And they said that they're going to look at all kinds of things, use tech to sort of figure out how you throw a curveball, or how, what's the best way to hit a hockey puck, and do these, all kinds of engineering, and show you the way, sort of the behind the scenes of sports at this new museum. So it's still a ways away from it actually coming to fruition, but still, it'll be cool. And also, I need to mention Happy Startup Showcase Day.
Oh, thank you. That's so
sweet. I feel like we've been talking about it forever, so I want to give you a little
extra plug. Plugging the hell out of it.
I know.
Ticket sales are fantastic. And Shelly, what a great segue, knowing the fact that our next guest.
I know.
Have you done this before?
A little bit.
I think you just a smidge. So our next guest, Julie Novak, founder. Is it founder, co-founder? What are we?
Co-founder.
Co-founder of Party Slate. You are going to be presenting tonight.
I'm excited.
I am too.
I'm ready to go. Give me the stage.
I think you can see the building from just down here.
I actually used to work in that building many, many years ago when I worked at First Chicago. Does anyone remember that bank before it was Chase?
Yeah,
yes.
I do. Actually, we've had, this is not last week. This would be our fourth, minus last week, this would be our fourth week in a row where one of the people come in who actually used to work in that building.
Worked in that building.
I guess that's a big building, so I guess
it's
they hire lots
building.
Of people.
But yeah.
So I guess right off the bat, why don't we start off with what is Party Slate, and then let's get a little precursor for what you've got in store for people tonight.
Sure. So if you've ever planned a larger scale party, have you planned a larger scale party, like a corporate event, a wedding?
You have to ask.
I was gonna say I host these events.
Not like a beer party.
Oh.
I have once.
Okay.
An actual thing.
If you have, it takes a lot of work to plan these parties.
So I found out.
Yeah. So people are looking for new ideas. You want to raise the bar for your guests. You're looking for a venue, caterer, event planner. On Party Slate, you can find all those things. Amazing idea, all posted by top professionals in your local area. So we modeled the site after Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z. Yep. If anyone's redone
Love
a kitchen
that.
Or bathroom, mildly obsessed with Houzz. We're building Houzz for the events industry. So inspirational, beautiful photos, all posted by professionals. And the great thing is every photo is linked back to the professionals that did that event. So unlike Pinterest, when you find something you like, you want to know where the venue is, who was the caterer. You can't find that kind of attribution or who actually did the event. Everything on Party Slate is linked back to those amazing professionals.
So how do those professionals, do they make money on this? Is it like one of those things where the hope is that I will click back, find them, and then hire them to do
exactly.
the actual thing?
It's really content marketing. So it's an event professional marketing platform. These professionals are busy putting on these larger scale events. They don't have a lot of time for digital marketing. They may be great on social media with real-time photos, but they get these gorgeous professional photos, and many of them just end up on the local iPad in their offices. So what we're trying to do is help them become better digital marketers so they can post their beautiful photos for free up onto Party Slate. It takes 15 minutes to put up your photos, tag, describe them. We even have interns that will do it for them. And then how we'll make money is starting next month, we're going to offer a premium placement on the site for an annual subscription. So that's similar to what Houzz does. It's always free to post. So we have professionals that have 800 photos, 200 photos, 1,000 photos, free to post your whole portfolio. But if you want an elevated presence with our targeted audience that's coming, you pay roughly $200 to $400 a month.
I don't feel like I've seen anything that's remotely like this in the event space.
There really isn't anything like that. There's a lot of wedding blogs.
Obviously there's blogs and there's like how-tos and there's people who have their own website.
Yes.
But it's...
There's nothing like it, and especially it's all different types of events. So all the wedding blogs, over and over, you can see the same rustic chic outdoor wedding over and over. Really, we want to show all kinds of weddings.
It's funny because I saw the Justice of the Peace in mine. The blog looked like just a curtain, and I don't think I saw rings in there either.
Yeah. And one thing to mention, you mentioned rings, is we are not promoting hairstyles, makeup, rings, shoes. A lot of, the site, the wedding blogs out there are all about styling and the bride, and that's great. We're all about design and event inspiration. So we're aspiring to be kind of the Vogue of event design.
And with the city that has quite literally, I think if it's not the number one most, it's like the second most, I guess Vegas is probably number one, like the second most non-sports and entertainment events. Like we have the most events across the city of Chicago than any other city in the country.
Yeah. It's a great event town. So Chicago was our launch city. We have over 1,000 professionals now on Party Slate, and a big portion of those are in Chicago. We're now expanding into Dallas, San Francisco, LA, and New York is next for us. We already have professionals in 40 states and 9 countries, so it's really gone viral.
How are you growing this so quickly?
Well, I think, number one, we have a beautiful user experience and a beautiful brand. We've been going to a lot of national conferences and meeting a lot of the influencers on the event professional side. So we spent our first year really focused on building the inventory, building the event professional side. And now we're focused on the consumer experience and driving consumers to really, enjoy the great experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess what is your background on all this? I mean, I assume you were obviously in events, but you worked
I am not in events. Yeah, I'm a digital marketing geek.
Therein lies the solution,
I used to run Razorfish, the Chicago office here, Razorfish. So I have 20 years.
Just a tiny amount of experience.
Digital marketing experience. Yeah, I grew that office from 80 to 300 people before I left. I went to a company called Vibes doing mobile marketing. But I always, and everyone knows this about me, I always love events. I love creating recruiting events, corporate events, my kids' birthdays, planning my own wedding many years ago. And I just love bringing people together to create memories and experiences. And I'd always go online to find inspiration. And I found these wedding blogs. And I'm like, this isn't what I'm looking for. And after I used Howe's remodeling a kitchen, I'm like, this is amazing. So I took my digital experience. I tapped someone I worked with for a very long time, John Harrow, to be my co-founder, brought on Mark Simone, who is our creative director over at Razorfish. And now we have a team of 11 people over at 1871.
Who is Razorfish used for events now?
Razorfish, they do a lot of client entertaining, so I don't know who they use for events.
Party Slate should be who they use.
But it's been about 6 or 7 years. And people ask me, do I plan events or do we plan events? We are a technology platform, so we do not.
No.
Similar to Howe's, they don't build homes.
No, of course.
Yeah.
This is, I think this is completely brilliant.
Yeah.
I really do.
We want to blow it out.
I think you're
going right here.
I really do think you're
going. In Chicago.
I think you're going to, because I'm telling you, we're an event company by accident, sort of, in a way. The events that we do are what makes them attractive to people is that they're really simple. There's not a lot of stuff around them. but I love going to events. And if you want to build your own event, you have to go to a lot of them to meet people to get them to go to your event.
Exactly. I mean, events are really important. This digital
most
age that we live
suck.
In. And most of them are the same. You know, these galas with the same chicken dinner, the same thing. We want to help people create amazing experiences, think of new ideas. So we have the best professionals, definitely in Chicago, but soon in the country, that are posting the latest and greatest ideas. So you can come find amazing ideas, but then also hire those professionals. We're not a do-it-yourself site. So we're not, Pinterest and printables and things like that. We're really about amazing ideas for larger scale parties and hiring the best professionals.
This reminds me, Howe's is the perfect analogy.
Yeah, that's our main analog.
Yeah, but the flash that I'm getting in my head right now when you talk about this reminds me of when I was in commercial real estate. And it went to like 2006, and you started to see things before everything went into the garbage.
Yeah.
You start to see all of the individual realtors, brokers, and so forth starting to pool together. And then eventually somebody caught them and was like, we can create this.com that gives everybody their own platform.
Yes.
And
we look at
Redfin
those. Zillow. We look at a lot of those sites for inspiration because we want to help people weed through and just like looking for a home, finding the right ideas, finding the right caterer, finding the right venue. We want to help them really make that experience easier. It's very stressful planning a large party.
But more importantly, the people who actually plan the parties, this is a really like a weak spot for them. They're very creative, very good at organizing some of them, very good at organizing the actual event side, but the ability to tell what they do and to express to me how much work goes into it and yada, yada, yada. They're really not.
Yeah. And I mean, no offense against these event professionals. They're busy, but their websites are not that good. There's a few of them that are good.
You can be honest. They're terrible.
They're not that good. And some of these professionals, within a half an hour, put their photos up here and they have a beautiful presence that's, simple and a lot of white space. And the photos are kind of the hero of the site. So we're really making it easy. Again, it's free for them to post. There's absolutely no downside. So we're getting a lot of traction and kind of, getting these great professionals on. And now we're writing a lot of articles, top planners in Chicago, top venues, and attracting that consumer audience to the site.
Very cool. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to pitch to everyone who's going to listen to this why they should go and use Party Slate and then where to go to use it and everything
else. Okay, so you can go to, let me just say it slowly, Party Slate, S-L-A-T-E. Go to the site. I really encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. We feature the best of the best every week and register. And you can also save the photos you like to a custom slate for your next party. So sign up. And then one more pitch. Our industry is all about images and beauty. Instagram go to Party Slate. If you're not on Instagram yet, you should be. Go to our Instagram page, and you'll see beautiful photos every single day.
Very cool. Yes. That's awesome. And come to Technori tonight, technori.events.
I'm excited. Thank you for inviting me. Oh,
I can't wait to have you go. It's going to be amazing. Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I love that. And I'm going to go to their Instagram.
I was
right
just
going to
say, we'll be following them now.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. So we talked about this the very first time you're on the show, how parties and events suck and that we're going to have you covering more of these events. So
yeah, we're going to go to these events together. And now with help.
I was going to say, we need to find a way to get you guys connected to where you cover events that they go to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you know it's been like if it's part of the if Party Slate was the source of this and you're in Chicago, then we'll send Showbiz Shelly to the event and she can grade it.
I love that idea already.
And drink all the brews and bring me back the like barbecued bacon water chestnuts.
The bacon water chestnuts.
You've not had the appetizers? Like the little water chestnuts wrapped in bacon and it's like barbecue sauce?
Dates? Are you talking about dates?
I don't want the dates one. They've got the dates one they've got, but the water chestnut, yeah.
I haven't been to that party yet.
You haven't been to enough events then. If you don't have your finger food,
I've had an early bedtime
then,
for many years. Oh my goodness. Yes, but we'll work on it. I'm anxious to try these. Okay.
Very cool. Well, we're waiting on our next person here. I don't know where the heck he is. Hopefully, he shows up shortly.
So this is. Oh, I see. Is this him? Okay.
Lane's here.
Hey.
Boom. Take a seat right there.
All right.
And we'll move in.
Perfect.
This is when you know you've got a true tech entrepreneur in here. I'm serious. We have all these. You've been on the show a couple of times, whether it was Technori or it's Tomorrow's Business Today. Lane is a good friend of mine, first and foremost, and also the founder of, I don't know, how many companies is it now?
Boy, a lot.
I mean, if I just say seven, that's like seven
sold.
Five. You sold. All right, so that's way undersold. Then all right.
Yeah.
Let's call it a cool 10.
Sure.
Not how many LLCs and things you have. Just like just how many companies are like fully fleshed out and got them out and rolled. A minimum of five sold. So you got that.
Yeah.
You are also, and I don't even know, you know, I should know this. Like, are you calling yourself co-founder of Fast Advocate?
No, I'm not.
Just the full founder?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So. You might as well. You do a ton of work there, and it's amazing, and we're in the perfect time to talk about politics and how to change the conversation. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on the background of you because you've got so many companies, and most of the people in Chicago already know who you are. You were an early fan of Technori and a huge supporter of Technori, which I appreciate and Seth Kravitz appreciates. But I was saying when you come in here, Emerson Sparks, a handful of other guys have come in this. They always come in like almost sweating. Like I'm working, I'm going through, like I haven't even taken, like my phone is here. Like, I don't know. Here's my computer. Like they're like, can I check my email real quick while we're on the show? Like they're like going 1,000 miles an hour, and you get the C-level guys who come in and they're always like much more like, well, I've been prepped. My makeup is checked. Everyone's here. They've got my bags. So it's cool to see like a truly working like right now tech entrepreneur sitting down in front of us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's get into Fast Advocate. I want you to give, just like we did with Party Slate and other Technori companies, which Fast Advocate will soon be a Technori presenter, I hope.
Absolutely.
What is Fast Advocate for those who are unaware?
Sure. So the best way of explaining Fast Advocate is I got to do a little background real quickly on exactly how politics works. Most people are just completely unaware, but it's so important today with everything going on. There are lobbyists out there that are trying to influence policy that we hear about all the time. But these lobbyists tend to represent different parts of the economy through trade associations. And that's really where Fast Advocate comes into play. Today I'm parking downtown Chicago. I see a sign from the Chicago Parking Association. And it says, hey, they're going to raise our taxes and you're going to have to pay more if you're parking in Chicago. And I think about that sign and I go, gee, I wish they'd heard of Fast Advocate. In a sense, that's what we do. We help an organization like the Parking Association actually find the right members of the people who care about parking in Chicago to lobby their politicians on their behalf. So instead of having to hear from lobbyists, which of course are not going to go away tomorrow or anything like that.
Or ever.
But yeah, politicians can actually hear from their constituents through our system, and we can make sure that they live in the right district and that they're actually able to vote for the politicians. And, you know, unlike a campaign where they're putting up a poster or something like that in a parking lot, we help that organization stay in touch with those people long term so that they can continue to build a relationship with them.
So a little hidden information. I used to actually work on political campaigns I actually worked for a lot of Republicans because, not to sound like a jerk or anything, but they just didn't know what the hell they were doing, and so it seemed like an easy bait for me. But I did a lot of campaign work, and to tell you the truth, most people, the two reasons most people don't reach out, in my experience, to their constituents is, one, that they think, or that they don't, their constituents don't reach out to them, is that they think that either their word is worthless and it won't make a difference, or, and this is the thing that I think Fast Advocate solves, is that it's just too damn hard.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, every organization from the Small Business Advocacy Council on down in Chicago that say every week they send out a thing saying this is something that's up for vote or whatever, and they send even me an email, and I know what I'm doing. I actually know what to click on. I don't click on it because it's
we get a whole bunch of these messages in our inboxes already from these groups that we care about, and they're always like, sign this petition. And, you know, great, now change.org has another petition, and maybe you donate $5 to change.org. That doesn't really change anything, except change.org made a few bucks.
Yeah.
You know, what we really do is we step in and we allow for the group to send that email, provide a button, and allow you as the constituent to actually send something to the representative. Postal mail, faxes, emails, or make a phone call. And we make sure we tie you directly to your representative. And we keep an up-to-date database of all that contact information. We update it daily. So we make sure we're actually getting you through to the politician, not some, you know, voicemail box that no one's going to hear, but actually through to them.
Yeah. So what is the main difference between there's a handful of other things out there that are not exactly, they're definitely not the same as Fast Advocate, but they address individual parts of Fast Advocate. None of them all in the same sort of thing. I guess I just answered my own question.
Yeah.
What's the difference? It's all of them in one.
Yeah.
What is it for your money? What is the one thing that you would say to any lobbying group or organization that has advocates that this is our sales point? This is what we do best.
Yeah. Even if you don't have advocates, right? If you're out there and you're trying to change policy today, maybe you're looking at hiring a lobbyist, you already hired a lobbyist, or you are a lobbyist, and you just want to affect change a little bit more effectively, that's where Fast Advocate comes into play. We're an all-in-one system. We know that big companies have spent lots of money putting together systems like this. We bring that advantage down to the little guy. And for the big guys, we save them a ton of cash because we give them a license to use a system that can do everything, and they don't have to shell out the money to do it in-house anymore. So imagine every single organization out there had to build their own Microsoft Office suite. You'd say, wow, that's a lot of resources wasted.
Yeah.
In a sense, that's what Fast Advocate is. In one click, we can find everyone in your organization who lives in the district of some representatives you're trying to target, or committees. And we keep track of all the staff and all the phone numbers and everything for you. So you just pay a small fee compared to what you'd pay to do it yourself. We save you a ton of time, a ton of energy. And we make sure that the results are accurate, get good reports, and that's really what we're doing here, is simplifying the process.
What I think is the most cool about this is it's also comes born from a legacy company.
Yeah.
So if you want to like kind of check quick, like this isn't one of the complaints that I got from politicians when I was coming into it was that I was young and I was like, oh, you don't know the ropes and you don't know all the people. You know, it's like 18 old white guys staring down at me with just utter disgust. And the difference is for Fast Advocate is it comes from a company that has been in the business for quite some time.
Yeah. So the founder of this company, the real founder, I come in as the COO and I'm helping get distribution going. But the real founder of this company has been in the business basically his entire life. He inherited the company, so to speak, from his mother. 44 years this business has been around in one way or another. Actually, the parent company that sort of co-founded this is called Capital Inquiry out of California, and they've been out there 44 years, started during the Reagan administration, and they sold the book with contact information that's sort of commonplace in California politics. You can pick it up and you can find all the contact information for the state. And it's funny, a lot of their customers are actually the state. The state wants to know how to contact each person inside. They don't want to
list it. Which is amazing.
Anywhere publicly, right? So they buy this book to be able to contact each other. And, you know, they've moved into other states, and that's why we're here in Illinois.
So if anyone was ever wondering, do we still use a phone book?
Yeah, right.
We do. Well, we don't. They do.
Yeah,
our United States government's money is well spent. But it can be spent a lot better, and I think Fast Advocate is really unique. I think the mobile part is underway. It's kind of getting there. It's almost, I guess, almost done, pretty close here.
Yeah, so we do have the app up. We've been doing beta testing since January, and we're thrilled to talk with other organizations that would like to, you know, see how effective this can be with their advocacy work.
Yeah, so I think our big hope here is that with some of the people we're going to send this out to, that you guys are looking for sort of that proof point. Come check this out. Try it out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Get as much feedback as we can, because the ironic part here is that this was built knowing the in and outs of this. This was built literally. Just got a text message from Seth Kravitz to say hello.
Oh, hey.
This was built literally to before the Trump thing.
Yeah.
Like this was being, we were working on this thing a while ago. You've been on this for a while. So this came out
perfect
and then,
time.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the Trump thing happened and was like, we talked about like, if we get this out before the election, it's like, no, it's going to be too soon. And they came out, I was like, oh my God, you need this tool more than ever.
Yeah.
What are some of the more prominent issues that are, people are coming up with that you talk to?
Well, the nice thing about this industry right now is when you have one party in control of government, and that's not just true with federal, but even with state, everyone's trying to get laws changed, and now there's one party you have to work with. So they're spending unprecedented levels of dollars this year, just happen chance, you know, this year we're launching, on making sure policy changes are going the way they want. And that's really what we're facilitating here. You know, you're never going to take the people out of politics. It's a people business.
They won't let you, in case you're wondering.
Right.
Yeah. What we do is facilitate a portion of it. You know, we make sure that the representatives hear from the people that they care about, the ones who can vote them out of office. We do it fast, we do it easy, and we do it in a trackable, reproducible way. So that's the secret sauce here, really, is we've got a technology suite, you know, that we did spend a couple of years putting together. We make sure that we have the latest and greatest mapping tech. A lot of the stuff out there, if you're familiar with it, you know, it does it by zip code or it does it by city. We actually find you on a map in a district. And if you ever look at gerrymandering and all these crazy districts, we have all the accurate district info. So we know exactly where you are, exactly the right person to represent you. And that's sort of our secret sauce.
Very cool. Where do people go to find out more about Fast Advocate?
Hey, you can go to fastadvocate.com. You can email me, lane@fastadvocate.com.
Or lane@17otherdifferentdomains.com.
Yeah. Definitely. And we're actually expanding from state government down into cities and counties as well. So we have school board info, mayors, council members, things of that nature. So we're not just stopping with where we are at. We're actively growing, and we have a product called Policy Guru that services California with that information today.
Very cool. This is awesome. Lane, thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
Awesome. Very good. Did you have fun today?
I always have fun with you, Scott.
This is a great show. I feel like this show gets better all the minute.
There's so much content, too, today. A lot of good
stuff. We loaded as much content as you could fit into 54 minutes.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Well, that was a show of Facebook Live. I don't even know if you're still streaming, but if not, you're still streaming. We're there. We're heading out. Watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us at Technori on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me at Katoon or Showbiz Shelley at Showbiz Shelley.
Yep.
Boom. That's a wrap.